The Game Boys podcast is back, baby. We got Xbox streaming service. We got Switch, a new one. PS4, new names, and a mobile Stardew Valley. Check it out. Welcome back for another long-awaited episode of the Game Boys podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Bowman.
Hey, everybody.
And my name is Pat, and we're back after, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks hiatus now?
3 weeks, I think.
I mean, I haven't slept since because I've been itching to get back here, do this podcast. Ruined my entire European vacation because the whole time I was just like, the people need me.
Yeah.
So finally, I can sleep well tonight, knowing that the Game Boys have expressed our opinions to the masses.
Yeah, of course. So it's good. It's good to be back, everybody.
Yeah. What's going on in Bowman Land?
While you were away, I watched your place for a couple weeks, made some friends with Ader and Rush.
My dogs. Yeah.
Yeah, they were good boys.
Yep. They only pooped on the floor a couple times.
Yeah. Well. Ader's a little shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was that. Finished up midterm for school, so that's a thing. Still
great.
Feel cranking away my jet application right now, so doing that.
You're going to be a pilot?
No, that's the Japanese exchange.
Oh, okay.
Language program. So just putting that application through right now. It's due next month, so I'm just slowly trekking away at it.
So, okay.
Yeah. What about good. You, man?
Well, I went on a trip to Europe.
Yeah.
You
want to talk about that?
We went to Oktoberfest. It was awesome. We went to Berlin, London, and Paris, and they were. It's exactly what you would expect. I've been there before. We had a good time. Food was good. In Germany and Paris, food not so good in London.
Really?
I mean, they're well known for like having bland food and stuff, and everything's fried, and their beer's terrible. It's all very bland. Like Newcastle, none of their beer that I tried over there was like that. Like that's like the darkest English beer I've ever tried, as far as flavor wise. I tried dozens and dozens of beers; they were all bland. Very rarely did I get one that I liked. Yeah, but, you know, the fish and chips were good, but it's fried food, so how can you fuck that up? Yeah, but overall, a success. All the museums, all the old churches, all the old buildings, and all the old graves of all the old kings. Everything was old there. So, because unlike Japan, they hadn't been nuked off the map and had to rebuild. So plus one for being nuked, I guess. So, yeah. Played a lot of Valhalla while I was gone on the Vita.
How you liking it?
It's good. Got my copy in right before I left and said, I'm going to play this. And I did. I did not bring my Switch because I was afraid of it getting stolen.
Been wanting to play this game for well over a year. And
yeah.
And you got to play it before me.
Yeah, it was good. It's a good one. Not done with it yet. I'm in chapter 2. I don't know how many chapters there are.
How's like the bartending gameplay like?
Very shallow.
Yeah.
Not a lot to it. It's just strictly visual novel, basically.
Yeah.
I think the bartending aspect of it is solely there just so there's some gameplay. I imagine that's why it's there. It's just to switch things up in the visual novel aspect of it. And so, because in today's day and age, it's difficult to sell a game that you're not playing a game. So, it's just like you're talking to somebody and then they'll just randomly be like in the middle of a conversation, like, you know what, I think I'll take a beer. And then it, you know, switches to the drink mixing, which is very simple. You pull up the menu, you choose the drink by name out of a list, and it tells you what the ingredients are.
Like real bartending.
And then you, with the touchscreen, you just drag and drop the ingredients into the mixer, and you mix it, and then you give it to them. And it's all just, it's very simple. And then you give them the drink. And you can choose, there are some different aspects of it. You can choose, like, with certain drinks, how much alcohol to put in it. And also, like, you can choose to give them, like, a double-sized drink. And all that stuff affects, like, whether they get drunk or not.
Yeah.
I've only gotten somebody drunk once, and they immediately left. Like, had to be, like, called a taxi. So I'm not sure if that's what happens every time.
Yeah.
That you get someone drunk. I've been trying to get people drunk, but some people just don't hang around the bar long enough to for it to happen. You have to put, you have to give them a lot. And, like, yeah, so I've been trying to get other people drunk just to see if that's what happens every time or if there's different dialogue options. That's it. My only complaint with it is that there's no dialogue options. You're literally just reading a story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's no, like, choosing how to respond to stuff. It's strictly just you're watching a story unfold.
Hmm.
Yeah. There's no game, really.
That's a little surprising. I thought...
I don't know. I don't play a lot of visual novels, so I don't know if that's normal or not. You play a lot more than me.
Most visual novels I play, you at least get some choices.
Yeah, I don't think there's been any.
So I guess the choices is in the drinks
not
that you make.
It's not there. No.
Yeah.
Very rarely will somebody say, give me this drink. Give me a sweet drink that's strong. And you have to choose. And then there was, like, one guy who came in and was, like, really vague about his drink. He's like, I want a drink that, like, an emperor would drink. And you have to choose. You have to pick the drink. And depending on the drink you pick, I'll just be like, wow, you knew what I wanted. But that's it. So, yeah, it's strictly just a story. There's no game in it, really. The mixing is part of the game, I guess, but it's just reading a list and dragging the ingredients into a bowl or a cup. So, but I enjoyed it. It's interesting, and yeah, it's cute, and it's basically just like nothing but like hot anime girls. Basically, like there's a few guys that come into the bar, but they're all like weird like cyborg guys. And then all the other customers and all the people that you interact with for any meaningful amount of time are just, like, anime girls. So, and they're basically all, like, lesbians or bisexual. So, because you're playing as a woman.
Mm.
So, but I was hoping there would be, like, a dating sim aspect to it. There isn't. Maybe later in the game, I just got to chapter 2, I don't know, but there, like I said, there hasn't been a single, not one, in like 5 hours of gameplay, there hasn't been a single dialogue option.
That's weird.
So.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah. But yeah, I liked it. So, anyway, went on the trip, and had a good time, and I've been back, and I've just been working, and, you know, I've got this wedding that I'm best man at coming up in a couple weeks, and trying to fit into my tux better, so I've been exercising a lot. And aside from that, that's it. So, hopefully we'll get back to some Persona 5 and chip into that some more. And I've been watching a lot of scary movies. So, yeah. So, let's get right into this then. Let's see. What happened while we were gone? Well, they announced the Xbox streaming service. So... this kind of plays into what I talked about months ago, where I think that one day, maybe in the near future, Microsoft is going to kind of just have like their devices that play Xbox games, like a Surface or whatever.
Yeah.
And they've gone beyond that. Now it's just literally any device, basically, with a...
Actually, didn't even know about this service.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so essentially now they announced the service, and it's like PS4's Link, but instead of having to own a PS4 and just connecting to it, it's like It's like the fucking PS4...
PlayStation Now?
Yeah, that. It's like that. So now you can stream Xbox One games and stuff to like a phone or a tablet or...
Your PC, obviously.
Yeah, PC. It's interesting stuff. It's going to be off of a cloud server, obviously. I mean, I feel like in the last few months we've talked a lot about streaming.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so they haven't detailed it too much, but they did announce it, and they more details are coming out. Right now it's called Project X Cloud. You know, it's whatever. It's coming. And this is along. I mean, I feel like Microsoft has the best infrastructure to do something like this out of the big three console manufacturers. So yeah, what are your thoughts on this here? Streaming games, and I don't know, where do you think it's gonna go?
I mean, it's a good idea. How far could it go? Because a lot, there are still some Xbox exclusives that never got ported to PC still. Right. So I mean, it gives people the opportunity to play those games, similarly to how the PS Now service lets people play Bloodborne. A lot of people play Bloodborne that way.
Well, so here's the thing, though. It is they didn't say that all games were going to be compatible with it.
Sure,
but I imagine it's going to be like Game Pass games, maybe.
That's fair, but I do think that they will, if they're smart, they will put down the games that are exclusive to get people to come in. Because they don't have that many, so it's not really, it's right. Not like they have a giant list of those to go through.
Yeah.
So, in that regard, I think it's a good idea, just because it's a hard sell for someone who owns a PlayStation and a PC to get an Xbox if they've already purchased a PlayStation. It's really, we're not really, most people aren't like us and just want to own, like, every console.
Right.
You don't even own an Xbox One.
No, I don't.
I just sold my Xbox One.
Yeah.
And there's a chance that I may want to eventually play like one of those exclusives. And if there was a streaming service like that, I'd possibly look into it depending on how reliable it is. And the thing is, even if it offers games that PlayStation and PC already have, if they're able to offer it at a very affordable price, and I can get access to a lot of like, right, old PC games and indie games, and they like even original Xbox games, if there was that option,
yeah,
I'd possibly look into it. I think it's a good idea. It all depends on the price point. And I think that, like you said, I think Microsoft they've always had the financial backing to take more risks with stuff like this, and they can offer lower, more competitive price points than PlayStation can.
It's definitely interesting because it removes that barrier of entry for casual people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we just kind of take for granted, you know, well, we've been doing it our whole life, so it's just like, okay, well, a new PlayStation's coming out. It's been 7 years or whatever, time to drop another $500.
We account for that stuff. Yeah.
But your average Joe Schmo is not into, you know, spending $500 on a console when it comes out. And this kind of opens the floodgates to a lot of people who wouldn't normally buy a new console, but might want to play that new game.
Yeah. Especially, like, tablets and mobile. Everyone owns this stuff. And I feel like a lot of times for, like, people who don't really game or haven't gamed in a long time, they'll hear about new games come out, like, well, oh, wow, what's that Detroit Become Human game I keep hearing everyone talk about? And then they look at how much it costs for a system, and they just go, I'm good.
Yeah, so, exactly.
You're right. It definitely offers that. I think Microsoft's been really good about that. For a lot of things they've been doing wrong this generation, lately they've been making some cool decisions in doing that. We didn't talk about it in the podcast, but also the monthly service plan they have, where it includes Game Pass, Xbox Live, and you're basically financing an Xbox,
mm-hmm,
an Xbox One. Right. And they didn't even, you're not even getting charged interest for any of it.
Right.
Like, it was so.
Well, it's just, it's weird because to me, in my eyes, every decision that they're making signals that they don't give a fuck about it, like, their console, basically. Like, that's the end game here, is that because they're devaluing having an Xbox One greatly. Like, there's almost, they're pushing it to the point where there's almost no reason to own the Xbox One.
Yeah,
between the PC, because they don't, none of their games are exclusive now. Except for, I guess, the new Halo is only going to be on Xbox. But 90% of their first-party games come out on Windows. Now they're doing the streaming thing. Then they're doing Game Pass. So you don't even have to buy the games when they come out. And it's just... So everything signals to me that they're moving towards a service more than a product.
I do think those two things don't necessarily have to be removed from each other. I think that... On the flip side of that, you can see it as they're making their brand more appealing to people, and that can affect the next generation. Whenever we see a next generation of games go forward, things change drastically. Developers can be watching this right now and going, wow, if I put my game on Xbox, it's going to be available on all these platforms.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's all about the games, and then if more games are available, more people will go for your brand.
Yeah.
So... I think it'd be really good for them. So, I mean, I think it's
great.
It's
pretty simple. If they, all they would need to do to get me to buy an Xbox was be like, oh, like, Bloodborne 2 is coming out on Xbox. And be like, well, I guess I'm buying an Xbox.
Yeah. I do think they still, it's just the exclusives things is just their issue. But I think that they kind of are just in a, well, they're taking all the right steps. They acquired all those developers, and now they're doing this. So, I mean, it's just... I hope Microsoft still sticks... It's good news, because I've always been hoping that Microsoft is going to stick around and not go anywhere, because this generation was shit for them. So, yeah. And this is just more indication and that they have no intentions of giving up consoles at all, or gaming. Well, maybe consoles a little bit, but gaming as a whole, so...
Sure, I mean, I don't think that... Yeah, I don't think that they're moving towards leaving gaming, but I just see them devaluing their Xbox brand a lot.
Yeah, for sure. It's a double-edged sword, and it could end up biting them. But I do see that there's a possible scenario. Where
I don't think it's gonna. I don't think it's gonna end up biting them, because, like I said, I just think I think in the next generation, I don't know if we'll see a following Xbox. I really think that in some form or another, what I predicted will come to fruition, where it's just like the Xbox desktop, the Xbox Surface or whatever, and these are the devices that play Xbox games. You have to, or any Windows device, but here's also a line of computers that are guaranteed to play these games at, you know, 60 FPS or whatever. I think that's the direction they're going in. I'm amazed that Sony doesn't sell TVs with PS4s built into them. That's the thing that surprises me, because they manufacture all that shit. And it's just like, they already, they already put Chromecasts and Fire Sticks and all that shit into TVs. And it's just like, and Sony makes TVs. So I'm just wondering to myself all the time. And I have a feeling that Microsoft will be doing that if they made TVs. Is why don't they have like a little disk drive in the side of their TVs with the PS4 hardware somewhere in there?
I don't see that happening. I just see more of you'll be able to access these streaming type services through these TVs, like, built in.
Well, just put the processor. Yeah, they could just put the processor in there and the video card and be like, oh, we have like a PS4 app, where you just download it or whatever. But yeah, so yeah, it's an interesting time, and I think that the industry is kind of at like a crossroads right now, because streaming is a hard sell. People don't like it. People don't, like, gamers are not on board yet.
No.
I read some study. I mean, first of all, just the, for instance, when Xbox announced Xbox One, gamers were very negative towards the idea of, like, always online and, like, not being able to share your games and stuff. That's what this is. You can't, all those things apply for this stuff. So
yeah.
They're not sold on it. Gamers are not sold on it. This is, I don't think we're at the point yet where you could just phase out the console completely. But I think that with the right app and the right infrastructure, you could capture some of that casual audience. So,
yeah, Microsoft could be tapping into a market that hasn't really been tapped yet. So, I mean, for sure, I agree.
All right. So on that note, PS4, I just like to really... The topic at hand for the PS4 is that... fuck, what was I saying? Oh yeah, okay. So the PS4, you can change your username,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah,
that's the topic that I have here. But real quick, I'd like to say, have you seen this this report that like people are getting spam messages on their PS4s and it's breaking them if they read the message?
Breaking them? No.
It's like, yeah, it's like fucking their console up.
What?
Yeah.
No.
So I get those messages a lot.
Yeah, you get a lot of the hey, how are you? And it's like an adult.
Which bot. It scares me that the consoles are getting fucked up, because I always like to respond to those. I always respond to the bots. And just see how long it takes. Basically see how many messages it takes for me to break them. And basically make it obvious that they're a bot.
Yeah.
So I like to play a game with myself to be like, let me see if I can make it obvious that this is a bot in less than like 4 messages. And now apparently people are getting these messages, and if you reply or read them or whatever, then your PS4 gets fucked up. So this is happening pretty, it seems to be quite a bit of people reporting this.
That's not good.
Have you got any of these messages here?
Haven't turned on PS4 that often right now, but
why not, man?
Because I'm playing my Doom.
Okay.
But yes, I do get plenty. Not plenty. Well, what happens to me is I randomly get added to groups with spam messages in there, and I'll randomly get like a "Hey cutie" message. But it's not to the point where it's like AOL spam folder, where it's like I open my mailbox up and I have 30 messages of spam.
Sure, but I would say almost every time, I'm not turning my PS4 on every day, but almost every time I turn it on, I have some new message like that, yeah, in there. So yeah, the report says that users are saying a text message exploit is breaking their consoles, requiring a factory reset to get it working again. So it's not a,
they're misusing
the term brick here. In my mind, brick is that it's done.
Yeah.
It's a brick.
At least this is why we have cloud saving services and all that. So
I don't use any of that shit, honestly.
No? No. Why
I
not?
I guess maybe I should. I just, because you have to do so many things to like set it up for every game. I'll probably turn it on for Persona because it's like a 100-hour game, but yeah, for most games it's whatever. Yeah. I guess I'm old school in that I grew up with like your save getting corrupted and stuff, that I just have always accepted it as a way of like, my mindset has always been like, well, if my console breaks, then I guess I lose my saves.
To me, I'm cheap and I pay for the service. I like to just at least have an option there.
Gotta use every
nook and cranny in this service here.
Yeah.
I almost logged into, when I was staying at your place, I almost was just going to be like, maybe I can work on my Persona 5 and I can just log into my account there and it would pull me up where I was at.
Well, see, so I will use it for that stuff. Like, there were some games that I play on the PlayStation TV that I, like, backed up the saves before I left so I could access them for my Vita while I was on vacation. I do use it for that sometimes, but I never plan on going to anyone's house and playing Persona 5. They're finally allowing you to change your PS4 username.
Yeah, people have been asking it for a long time. I mean,
weird. I didn't even realize this was a thing.
You didn't know?
Until recently. Like, until they said that they were probably going to do it.
People have been asking for it for a long time. Xbox has had this option since, like, I'm pretty sure the beginning, almost. And PlayStation, whatever reason, I don't know who they hired to, like, do their network infrastructure and all that stuff, because they have so many issues.
Yeah. It's so hard. That was basically their response when people are like, so you changed the names. Like, it's so hard.
Yeah, well, because they have to worry about trophies between the PS3, God, the Vita, and the 4. And so apparently, this will be, it is confirmed from Sony. It's been rumored, but it is actually happening. So the first change of your PSN ID will be free. After that, it will be $10 to swap it out. Or apparently you get for $5 your PlayStation Plus. I mean, whatever. Who cares? So, the weird part about it, and the thing that, the speculation of why they were never going to do it, is that they have an issue making it sync across everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's apparently, according to this article from The Verge, that PS3 games and certain games, PS4 games released before April 1st, 2018, will have an issue, and there may be some issues, including PS Vita might have some issues with it. So for me, I'm not going to change my name because I don't want to deal with the issues it could possibly have. But I also, my username isn't as embarrassing as certain people, because PS3 is when you were able to first like make your username like that. What was that, like 2007?
Mm-hmm.
So some people have some, like, you know, like they were kids. So like, yeah, they have like some really dumb names.
Oh yeah, okay, I can see that being an issue.
That's the thing, yeah. Like I can think of some pretty cringe AOL Instant Messenger names that I have.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even my name is slightly cringe, but it's not that bad. Mine is Zombie Chris, which
it could be a lot worse.
Could be a lot worse. At least mine's pretty straightforward. There's no numbers, nothing. Like,
yeah, okay.
So
yeah, well, hopefully all you kids out there can get your embarrassing name off finally.
Surfer Chick 1969 will be freed up.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Now I can make a second account. All right. So, alert! Alert! We have a mini console leak news.
Woo!
The N64 Mini allegedly has leaked online pictures. Did you see these?
No, I did not.
No, you didn't see these N64 Mini pictures? They look like they could be legit.
Yeah? Okay, let's take a look.
Basically looks like the same kind of form factor and usability and stuff as the SNES... Ah, god damn this. As the SNES Mini. Like the way that the front comes off and it reveals the nunchuck inputs.
Oh, wow, I see it.
It looks like a small N64.
Hmm.
What do you think on this?
Grain of salt.
Definitely looks photoshopped, but yeah. So would an official reveal would be photoshopped.
Specifically
the way that the light bounces off of it and stuff, and it just. But that's exactly how like a presentation would look, I feel like. So what we're gonna do now is list off our top 20 N64.
Yeah, guys. So number one is going to be, for sure,
Pokemon Puzzle League, which is Tetris Attack reskinned.
Number two will be Clay Fighters.
But it's got to be that Sculptor's Cut. Yeah, got to be the Sculptor's Cut.
It's the most valuable.
It's the rarest.
The rarest one.
It's the rarest one.
Exclusive from Blockbuster. All right, we're done. That's the end of our list.
Yeah, so
it's whatever, dude. I mean, I take these things with a grain of salt, and even then, if it's real or not, don't really give a shit. Because, I mean, the system's coming.
Oh, it's coming.
Like, they are making an N64 Classic at some point. I'm sure it's happening. I'm sure they're into the development.
Yeah.
Like, I know it'll look like a little N64.
All right, Switch 2.0. All right, you heard about this, I'm sure.
Go for it.
Did you hear about it or what?
Maybe.
Spill it for us.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
You didn't hear about this?
No.
What have you been doing the
last
2 weeks?
I'm not on Twitter anymore.
Neither am I.
And I even turn my news things off on Google now, so I don't see a lot of these articles.
You're a real useful co-host here.
Hey, man. I still do my research before, a little bit.
Yeah, you didn't know about the Switch 2?
I was too busy taking my returns, man. I'm sorry. Educate me.
Okay.
I need to know.
New Switch leaked. This has been...
Oh, you mean... Okay, sorry. You said Switch 2.0. I thought you meant like a firmware update.
That's what all the... No, that's
God
what all...
God damn it. Of course I know about this.
Okay, spill it.
Well, allegedly, according to I believe it was a
lot of sources.
A lot of sources.
Like manufacturers.
Oh, yeah, a lot of big sources. Yeah, that they are... I mean, there's not much to say about it, actually. I mean, that in 2019, in late 2019, there'll be a new Switch.
Actually said as early as the beginning of the summer for... U.S.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't think any of the further details were really teased at all.
New battery, new screen, all that jazz. Storage.
These are all obvious upgrades.
A third analog stick on the Joy-Con.
Are you being serious?
I made that one up.
Yeah. A directional pad would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be good, but they're not changing the Joy-Con.
Yeah, I know.
So here's what I would like to talk about. What would they have to do, and what kind of package would they have to have for you to buy this day one? All right, we're not talking about an updated Switch. We're not talking about more powerful or whatever. just strictly new battery, new screen. So bigger battery, bigger screen, better storage, and also, well, maybe a better processor to like make it so that it's not as choppy and stuff.
It's a hard sell for me. Just because I'm pretty happy with mine currently, and I don't see them making a step significant forward enough for me to want to buy it. So, I mean, like, if you're removing the powerful aspect of it and all that...
Well, I mean, a little bit more powerful. So it's not as choppy.
If it's more powerful and it's not as choppy, and, well, I mean...
Like, instead of dropping to, like, 540p on Doom, it runs it at 720 or 1080 or whatever.
I'd be tempted then. Yeah, if it was here's something like that.
Here's the thing that I think is a real opportunity for them. If they do this right, have an option for, like, for no Joy-Cons, no dock, no charger, literally just for people like us who already have one, and sell it for, like, $125, $150.
They'll never do that.
That could be a real... I feel like that's a big untapped potential there, because then... You're bringing in a lot of people who already own one, because it's sold. You're potentially bringing in like 20 million people that wouldn't buy it otherwise.
Yeah.
Because let's say by the time it comes out, there's 30 to 40 million Switches sold, right? You're going to have that one third, probably less than that, a quarter, maybe even less than that, of people who are going to buy the new one just because they like to buy new things, and it's, you know, it's new. I think if you have a bare bones, like, just update the tablet part of it, I think you could potentially draw in another 10, 20 million people.
I mean, yeah, I like you said, I'd be tempted to get it at that point if it was just a tablet, and it was, hey, it's this much nicer, it's got better storage, it's... The battery life is, for a powerful game, it runs at 5 hours instead of 2.5 now.
Yeah.
I would buy it. I don't see Nintendo doing that. I feel like they're not that smart enough to do that. They like selling complete hardware. So the only situation I could think of where they did something like that was really just an excuse to dick everybody over was when they included no charger for the new 3DSs. Like, I don't see them being like, all right, let's give everyone a bone and make it affordable for them to upgrade. Right. I think they're going to be like, all right, let's...
It's just different, I think, advantage. This time, because everything's modular.
Yeah.
So they don't need to include controllers and dock and all that stuff.
Yeah. I feel like I feel like Japan, they'll probably do something like that, because they've already done a dockless Switch in Japan. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll probably end up getting this, because I think that they're going to crank me and release, like, a special edition Animal Crossing version of it when it launches.
Mm.
And then I'll be like, oh, guess I have to buy this now.
For me, I'm going to do what I did with the 3DS, is that whenever a new upgrade was announced, I just kept holding out, because I know that there will probably be, like, a third iteration or something.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at with it. If it's not a big enough jump, I do see... This is actually another topic that I wanted to bring up, but we can talk about it here, was the future of the Switch in terms of ports, and are we going to have a situation...
Yeah, we've already talked about this before. I've given my opinion on this many times.
No, but I'm just saying, we have talked about this, but I mean, like, how do you feel about a Switch Plus versus, like, a regular Switch, and that there will be a line of... I don't know, realistically, how this will work.
Like a new 3DS, basically?
Yeah, and it... I think we never really saw this actually really happen with new 3DS, but they said they were going to do, but only really a handful of games ended up being that way.
Well, because I think that the exact same thing would happen with the Switch.
Yeah,
where they're only going to make a couple of them. Because nobody's going to make a game...
That's only valid for...
For a small install base, when they can make a game that's for... both install bases.
This is what I picture it could be an option, just because Capcom has what, you got an echo here? Oh, you turned it down.
What? There is no echo.
It was for a moment, but unless I'm hearing things in my head.
Yeah, you're hearing things. The speakers aren't even on.
Alright. The Resident Evil 7 streaming service thing. I could possibly...
Michael Myers here.
I could possibly see them... There is again.
That's just the table making noise, you fucking freak. There's no echo. There's no sound coming out of these speakers. All right. That's just it was like it was like the fucking table creaking. I don't know what echo you're talking about.
All right. So, you know how the new 3DS had, like, Xenoblade Chronicles was only able to work in the new 3DS? But I could see them doing a thing where on the original Switch, you can play this game, but it's only going to work on our streaming service for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to buy a physical card of it and actually play it on the hardware, that'll work on the new Switch.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Like, it's a possibility. I think that the better option would just be they need to update this thing frequently because it's a phone tablet type of device. Those things don't stay relevant for very long. So I really think that, and also it's like I said earlier, you're in a position now where you can easily have people upgrade for cheap. You could set up a situation like phones, where it's just expected, like every 2 years I have to buy this phone. And they could set up a system where it's just like every 2 to 3 years, 4 years, you just buy the tablet again. Just the tablet. And it's like, it's a little bit better than the last one. And if you, it's just like the firmware for phones, where it's like, my phone is 2 years old now. And it's like, okay, well, we're still including you, but the guy who bought the phone before you, he's not getting the newest update. And that's how it would be. Like, after two or three iterations, it's like, okay, well, whoever still has the original model Switch isn't going to be able to play this new game. It's just not, you know, it's not going to cut it. I think that's kind of what they need to be working towards, because, and do it like the iPhone, where you could just be like, oh, it's the iPhone, you know, it's the Switch 4, it's the Switch 5, it's the Switch 6, and then, and it's like, yeah, they still all play the same games, but it's like, that new game that just came out that plays on the last three versions of the Switch isn't going to play on the fourth, the one from four generations
ago. Sounds like a nightmare. I don't know if it'll work or not.
I mean, when you have a shitty little portable console like that, where it's using cell phone parts and stuff, you kind of have to. Like, how are you going to keep up with modern day? And but so, like I was saying earlier, where they're in a situation where it's like, you have, it would only be like $150 to just sell the tablet. That's not a hard sell. That's less than three games to have a brand new console.
Yeah.
So, plus, if you have family and shit like that, it's perfect for hand-me-downs. You know, you're probably going to have more than one set of Joy-Cons. You give the old version to the younger kid, and then the older kid gets the new console. It's $150, and now you have two consoles. Like, that's where I see the best version of this going. I don't foresee, you know, like, this will need to be replaced, in my mind, if they want to stay relevant and not turn it into the Wii again, where it's like, yeah, you had some third-party support at first, but then the system got so dated and shitty that you were the only ones making games for it still. If they want to avoid that, they have to update this thing way more often than a PS4. You have to. Because it's a mobile, it's like a mobile system. It's a tablet. Think of how quick laptops go obsolete. I mean, you buy a $2,000 laptop and a $1,000 desktop, that desktop is going to last you twice as long as that laptop. That laptop's going to be garbage in like 2 years. So I paid a lot of money for this laptop and it sucks now. So, that's where I see the future of the upgrades of the Switch and stuff. I think if they play it smart, that's the way they should go, where it's like, I would not consider, unless some crazy special edition that I like have to have comes out, I'm not going to consider upgrading because of a better battery and stuff. But if you have it for $150 or $125 and it's like, well, I could get the new model, I have an extra set of Joy-Cons, my wife kind of wants one, but not enough to like for me to spend $300-$350 after tax on it, but for $150 I can get just the new tablet, and she's going to play it portably most of the time anyway, so it's like, you don't need the dock. I have an extra set of Joy-Cons. Yada, yada, yada. It's like, it's perfect for me. that's at that point I'm like, okay, well maybe I will grab it for $150. It's almost like impulse buy at that point. It's $50 more than the PlayStation Mini for a new console. So like, and really when you do the math and you take the Joy-Cons out of the equation, you take the dock out of the equation, the charger, all that shit, $150 is very doable. The Joy-Cons are $80. The dock is $70 with all the wires. It's like $90.
$90.
Like, yeah, so
not
right,
that it's worth that much.
Sure, but they said that when people were complaining about it, they're like, we can't sell the Joy-Cons any cheaper or else we'll lose money on it because of all the technology and stuff in them. So, you know, just from a retail standpoint, let's say that we get rid of the dock and the wires and you get rid of the Joy-Cons, that's $170. That's $130. And if so, let's slap another $20 on there just for convenience. You're at $150. They're making at least $20 per unit. And so I think it's a no-brainer if you're going to be upgrading it, doing little iterative things every 2 years like that.
Yeah.
Which they love to do. That's a very, like, yeah, so you sell a package for people who don't have a Switch yet, and then you sell a single tablet, because everything's piecemeal, so it's perfect for that. You sell the tablet for people who already have one. It's an easy sell.
Yeah.
Nintendo, hire me!
I think... yeah, I mean... Who knows with this type of model? I don't think... A model like this has never really been done before in terms of, like, a tablet.
I mean, it's never really been done before like this, just with how modular it is.
Yeah.
Maybe the Sega Genesis, sort of. And then also, like, you have... the closest thing I can think of, which is a terrible example, is the Laser Active. which nobody, I'm sure, who's listening even knows what that is. So I think that's where I think it's going, but who knows. Switch 2. All right, we're at 42 minutes, so you said you had some topics of interest that were not news. Let's hear them.
Spooky Halloween's coming up.
The movie or the
no, just the holiday? Well, both, actually.
Okay.
Just wanted to ask you what your favorite horror video games are.
My favorite,
like,
horror?
What were the ones that, like, impacted you, like, the most as a kid, and ones that you, like, enjoy the most now?
Okay. The game that scared me the most as a kid probably was Friday the 13th on NES.
It was pretty creepy as a kid.
I was almost too afraid to play it by myself. because you know how it was back then, or maybe this was just me, but like, when you're a kid, and especially like in the 80s and 90s, I feel like it was very normal to like huddle around the TV and like, even in the middle of the day with all like the windows closed and stuff. So you're like in a dingy, like dark bedroom. That's how I always played it. Even in the middle of the day when it was light out, it was always dark in the room. So I'm like by myself in the dark, like, you know, 5 years old playing, 5, 6 years old, 8 years old, whatever, like playing this Friday the 13th game where Jason just like pops out of nowhere sometimes and kills you really quickly. And I sucked at the game, so I was always dying. And he felt just as menacing in the game as he was in the movies, where it's just like, you're impossible. Like, that's kind of how he felt about Jaws too, where it's just like, when the shark shows up, you're fucked. You know, now looking back on it now, it's like, yeah, Jaws is super beatable. It's not that difficult. But like when I was a kid, it was just like same thing with Friday the 13th. When Jason shows up, you're done, kid.
Yep.
He's going to kill you immediately, and that's how it felt in the movies and in the game. So, I would say that one scared me the most as a kid. It just depends. I don't know if you consider, like, Castlevania a spooky game, but, like, I played a lot of Castlevania Bloodlines. That was one of my favorite games growing up. Yeah, so I had a Resident Evil 2 was the first used game I ever bought. I didn't even know
you played Resident Evil 2.
I didn't know that used games were even a thing, and then they opened up the new mall in Ocoee where I lived, and it was like I lived in a middle of nowhere hick town. There's nothing to do, and then they opened up this big fancy shopping mall, and they had I was there, and they had a Rhino Games, which was bought out by GameStop, of course. And I walked into the store, and they had a relatively new game, and they had Resident Evil 2 for $7. And I was like, fuck, even I can afford that. I'm like, what? I was like, $7 for a PlayStation game? What the hell? And that was the first time I realized that pre-owned games were even a thing. And I bought it, and I played it, and you know, I couldn't get past like the first or second level because I never played a survival horror game like that before, so
yeah,
I didn't understand the concept of you don't have to stop and kill every enemy.
Yeah,
and that's the part that I just could not get over. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. So every time I saw a monster, whatever, I'm like, okay, let me just kill this thing. And you get fucking murdered. So yeah, as far as games now go, I don't know. I don't play a lot of like horror games. It's also difficult as an adult to really, what do you consider a horror game? Like, I like Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
It's horror themed. I'm not necessarily talking about survival horror.
House of the Dead.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah, so stuff that's one that I like a lot. We played that kind of. Maybe I didn't play it with you, but I played it pretty recently. I think it's probably in my Sega Saturn right now. So
let's take a look here. Nope.
Oh, it's empty. Well, I put my games away. That's true. no, but that's the last game I played in Saturn is a House of the Dead. And yeah. So what am I playing right now? I feel like I've been playing Eternal Darkness a little bit recently. I'm not super far into it though. Yeah, I've never been big into. I mean, I like Castlevania. I just downloaded Castlevania Chronicles X or whatever for the PSP that comes with Rondo of Blood and Symphony of the Night.
Oh,
so
they're going to be porting that over to PS4.
So they're not
soon.
Yes, exactly. And that's what got me interested. I'm like, I can just play it on my Vita or my PlayStation TV or whatever, because they're not even releasing a physical version of it, so just like whatever, if I want to play it, I'll play it here. Yeah, I mean, if you look on my shelf, I don't have a ton of like scary games. I was recently playing that Haunted Halloween 85.
Oh yeah, how is it?
It's fine. I think that the sequel is supposed to be a lot better. It's like a 2D platformer with a so it's a 2D platformer, basically. It's just all Halloween themed. It was pretty neat. It was fun. Yeah, so
I guess for me it's harder to talk about just because I'm the opposite and we played so many horror games as a kid. My family was really into horror, kind of like yours too.
Yeah.
Where we just, for whatever reason, we as little kids just constantly watched horror movies, and that went into video games too. We really liked horror themed video games. And the earliest one I can think of that I picked up and like really got sucked into was, which is not a survival horror game, was a Splatterhouse series. Like, I was really, really into that series.
Yeah.
I had, because we had a TurboGrafx-16, so we played that. And I remember seeing Splatterhouse 2 at a used game store. I forget what it's called. It was near my area. And the guy was super cool because, I don't know, like, I feel like a lot of retro stores try to be these places, but they just don't have that, like, at least over here, we just don't have it. We don't have like a cool like local place where the owners are really cool and nice and
they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, know what they're talking about. I remember the guy would like print out guides for us sometimes.
Oh, yeah,
for games.
He told me about
like Night Trap, we had it, and he printed out an entire like timesheet for us. We were having problems with it. He's like, here, just use
that's
it.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. And
so, wonder what that guy's doing now.
Who knows? Splatterhouse, I remember seeing Splatterhouse 2, and he was nice, and, like, if you were interested in a game, he'd be like, yeah, go ahead and try it. And, like, he had, like, a big CRT TV, and I played it, and the game, Splatterhouse 2 is ridiculous in its visuals. Like, Splatterhouse 1 was already like this, but part 2 was just nuts. Like, you get the 2x4, you did this in part 1, but it's just, the colors, like, so vibrant, and it popped. Like, you would smash the enemies against the wall, and when you're a kid, that stuff was just super cool. When you're right. into horror, you're like, "Oh my god!"
That's what I loved about Castlevania.
Yeah, like seeing violence like that on the screen, and so I ended up getting that game. Just sticks out to me because I remember getting off school, and my mom picked me up, and she like handed it to me, and was like, "I got it for you." And I was like, it was like one of my coolest memories as a kid. It was like freaking out, and like I remember reading through the manual. And of course I was big in House of Dead 1. I like got really good to the point where like I could beat that game on one try. And later on though, if you're talking about a game that like really scared me, probably strangely, like it didn't happen until the Dreamcast with Illbleed, which is why it's one of my favorite, that's why that game stuck with me. It's kind of a niche game, but it's becoming more well known as a cult classic, and it takes place in a horror theme park. And every level is like a fake B-rated horror movie. Mm-hmm. And they tried something new, and that there's traps in every level. And if you don't capture them, basically, and don't project where the trap is, it triggers a little event scene. Like, the controller vibrates if you have the rumble pack, and it makes a loud, like, shriek noise.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a violent thing happens against you, or some maybe, like, a ghost pop out, or something, right. Or something gross happens. That... It was basically jump scares, the game.
Yeah.
But they managed to put a mechanic in it. And that just, I don't know why, it like really freaked me out. Even though it was just cheap scares, it wasn't even like really like smart. Yeah. Those are probably like the two biggest ones. The other one I can think of is probably Silent Hill 3.
I never played any of the Silent Hills.
I think
I played one of the shitty ones, like Homecoming or something.
I think if you want to get into it, I think you should just try 3 out. Two or 3. I don't think you should bother with 1 right. unless you like become a super fan and want to go back. Because it aged.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the issues it has.
Yeah.
Shout out to Zombie Revenge on the Dreamcast.
Oh my god, that was
fun. I had
fun.
That. I love that game. It's like a B movie, like very much campy. It's not scary, but it's horror themed.
This was the shoot. This was like the third person shooter game, right?
Yeah, it was
top down shooter.
House of the Dead universe, I believe.
Well, like, yeah, I always heard that, but I never knew how much it was true. But I remember, that it was touted as like an unofficial sequel to House of the Dead, almost.
Yeah, I'm relatively sure that at least in like Japan, it was
considered House of the Dead universe.
Yeah, that game was one of those games where like my mom never ever. Would just, like, get me games. Ever. And, randomly, like, one day, when I was pretty old. I feel like I was in, like, late high school. I wasn't even gaming that much nowadays. But, like, she, like, brought me randomly home, like, Zombie Revenge. It was like, hey, I got this game for you. I saw it at the store on sale or whatever. And I took one look at it and was like, this is garbage. Like,
I remember the box art.
Yeah, I was just like, great. Pretty like, she looking. Just grabbed me some... in my mind, like, she just grabbed some, like, trash, like, dollar game out of the bin or whatever. And I ended up loving it. It's really good. It is officially listed on Wikipedia as the House of the Dead series.
Huh.
So, it's just a different... originally titled... Blood Bullet, the House of the Dead side story.
Hmm.
So, it is indeed a House of the Dead spinoff.
My shout out will go to Alone in the Dark because I played the original one, and that was like my first survival horror game as a kid, and that game was just super creepy, even creepy to this day, just because of how it's severely dated now. Obviously,
right.
It's like one of the first. I mean, Resident Evil 1 was inspired by this game.
Yeah.
So it's severely like polygon graphics and everything. None of the monsters look scary, but it did such a good job in the sense that like, well, for one, it was the first of its kind, but also things would just randomly pop out of like windows, and it wasn't like cheap like jump scares. Like it was just generally creepy. Like you felt you were in a place where something could happen to you, and there was even other moments where, like, you would just randomly fall through the floor. You just die immediately.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So you need to save a lot in that game. And the just, like, the small details, like, the wood would, like, creak as you walked. And, like, those things, like, had an effect back then. And, like, I feel like the older games, not to just be like, oh, older games, but...
Old school, baby.
Old school.
When you have less, like, it's one of those things where less is more, where your imagination... It can really play to your senses and scare you more, and I think that's probably why those Nintendo games are creepy. Because like you're wandering around that cabin and like there's like no graphics to it, but like you're a child and like your imagination's going wild. You know, at
any moment Jason's around the corner. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I do like scary games. I just never for whatever reason it's weird because like most of my VHS collection growing up was horror movies, and that's what I would always rent from the store, but strangely enough, I didn't play a lot of scary games. Not even sure if I just didn't even know they existed or not.
One series that I never really got into that I really want to dive into is the Fatal Frame series. I played the Wii U one. The Wii U, you could download just the first part of it, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And like those games are like touted as like really a big deal in the survival horror game industry.
They're spooky.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually. I never played them, but I imagine they're spooky. Yeah. Got anything else for us here?
I mean, not really. I mean, I think we're pretty good, but I mean,
fine.
We did announce this in the little preview there. Stardew Valley is getting a
No. I'm not talking about news. All right, I already skimmed over all the news. All right, news.
Fine. Then no news. Sure. Then I guess. Let's give some tips out there on how, like, what, so...
How to get spooked.
How to get spooked. Over the years of me being around you, and I feel like I've always been decent at this, but there really is an art to it, and I think you're good at it, and I want you to talk about...
Oh, you want me to talk about what it's like to be cool?
Yes. Specifically, the art of negotiating with video games.
Oh, yeah, I am purchases. Pretty good at
you're
it.
You're pretty good at it.
I can negotiate at, like, retail stores and stuff.
Yeah, like, you're... It's hard to watch sometimes because you kind of look like a dick sometimes, but you get what you want, so there's not really a whole lot of motivation in being nice sometimes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean,
Here's some better topics here. What are some examples of times that I've looked like a dick when I've been negotiating? Want to hear some of these stories?
No, I mean, it's just...
No, go ahead. I don't care.
I mean, when you call me out on it, like, I can't think of an example at the top of my head, but
the
Wii
Fit hat?
That was kind of funny. Yeah, that's a good example. It's not necessarily that you're a dick, it's just that, like, you're the kind of person that will... You're an opportunist. The guy who would actually be... No, most people wouldn't even bother asking things like this, and you're the one who actually, like, doesn't care about any weird social
My philosophy has always barriers. Been, you don't know unless you ask.
Yeah, I mean...
It's the worst they could say is no.
I just think that... Right, people aren't used to people like that, so it's just...
Yeah, well, that's what separates a good negotiator from not, is...
Well, then,
That's really what... So you kind of hit it on the head there, where it's the... You have to be willing to basically put yourself in the position that most people are not comfortable with. That's why negotiating works, is because if everyone was like that, then there would be no deals, because everyone would be getting the same thing.
Yeah.
You have to be willing... to be like, hey, this is kind of fucked up. The manual's faded, or it's water damaged, or, you said that you had this deal going on, but, you know, would you do it for this? Like, that's how the Wii Fit hat came about, was they had buy two, get one free in the store, and, like, there wasn't a lot in the store, and we were in there for a really long time, and, I don't think he was probably even allowed to sell that. The store and the like kids running it are kind of goofy, and like we know the owner, and he's way stricter than the kids running this store.
Yeah,
and they had like a Wii Fit hat on display. It wasn't like on the showroom. It was like in the back, and I was like, "Oh, how much for this Wii Fit hat?" And I already had two games picked out, and he was like, "I don't know." And he's like, "Make an offer," and I was like, $5? And he was like, all right, that sounds fair. And I was like, well, how about... I was like, it's the same price as the games I'm getting. How about you just give me this as the free game? And they're like, okay, fine. And so I got the We Fit hat for free.
Yeah.
So yeah, you just gotta be willing to make it, like, think outside the box as far as the deals go. Like, that's, I've always been good at that, where I've always been the type of person who's like, hey, I have this coupon for buy one, get one free, let's go to lunch together and split the costs or whatever, or I'll get this and then that way you can get this and it'll be free or something. Like, I'm always thinking that way. So that's a great tactic when you're at a garage sale or a store or whatever, where you're just like, you can kind of make the deal that they've put into place, like, make it so it's kind of like a no-brainer, where it's just like, they would, you might be a dick for asking, but they're, and like, they're going to seem like the bigger dick for saying no, because it seems like such a no-brainer. That's kind of the tactic I use, where it's just like, all right, well, you just offered me the hat for $5, and I basically am allowed to pick out a $5 game, so why wouldn't you just give me the hat?
Yeah, I've had some pretty cool moments myself. Like this guy was trying to sell like a black broken Wii with it.
And, yeah, I was there for this.
Yeah, and then it had like two Wii Plus, like, brand new controllers and charging stations for those controllers. Like,
right.
It's a great. I still use it to this day. And
not the Wii. It's over in my office.
Well, not that. I'm talking about the. I didn't want the Wii. And this is my point, is that he had a lot of like this, and he said that the Wii was broken, and he was trying to sell it for like, I think he was trying to sell it for like $40 or $50 or something like that. And he just said, well, the disc tray is just broken. And then I walked up, and it was later. I mean, a lot of negotiation power comes into the time of day too, especially when it comes to garage sales.
Yeah.
If you're going to come into the garage sale in the afternoon and they still haven't sold something, they got to get rid of it. It's junk to them. So I remember walking up to him, and I looked at the Wii Plus. I could have just been like, oh, I just want these controllers. They're super nice. But instead, I focus on the fact that the Wii was broken. And I'm like, you know, like, probably not going to be able to fix this Wii.
Yeah.
Like, just so you know. And so he was like, all right, well, then what do you want? And I just shot a price to him at that point.
How much did you get it for?
I got it for $15.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, that means I got the two Wii Motion Plus controllers and the charging stations. And honestly, it kind of worked out for me because all the cables and stuff were there.
Right.
So I got an extra sensor bar cable and a AC adapter. Which,
speaking of the right time of day, remember that time we walked up to the garage sale and this old lady had a clear colored PlayStation 2 controller?
I can't forget that.
And it was listed for I go, how much for this controller? And she goes, $2. And I go, would you do one on it? She seems
okay,
so.
There's an example where I'm just like shaking my head at you, like, come on, man.
She looks so upset, but she said yes. She was like, I guess so.
Yeah.
Because it was the end of the day, and it was like the last day of the garage sale too.
I don't think you're an asshole for asking these things. You
because I wouldn't take. I probably wouldn't have taken it for $2.
That's well, because I had a moment like that too. Someone had a loose resistance fall a man for $2, and I said, I think he wanted. No, I don't even know what he wanted for it, but I was just like, I'll do it for $1, and he was just like, no, and I'm like, okay, and then like I walked away, and he chased after me. You remember that? And he's
no, oh yeah.
He chased after me. He's like, I'll sell it to you for $1, and I'm like, all right. Because that's what it was worth.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah, it's just, you have to be willing to ask. That's the key. But yeah, I mean, sometimes you're gonna seem like a jerk. It's just, it's business. That's the way I look at it.
That's why it's easier to deal with. I can negotiate with strangers all day. I hate when I have to negotiate with friends.
Right. Well, so this is the thing, is it's business, and a lot of people don't understand that, and. I've gotten better at it because I own my own business, and I've also been in business with other people before, and that's the same thing that I had issues with an old partner, and, you know, we used to talk about, and we used to have issues or whatever, or fights, and I'm not really the type to, like, hold grudges, so I would tell him afterwards, like, he'd be still upset or whatever, and I'm like, listen, man, this is business, and that's the way I look at it. Business is separate from personal, and if I tell you, if I offer you a certain amount for something or whatever, and, you know, it's insulting, whatever, then just say no, but that's what it's worth to me. And you know, same thing in a business deal or whatever is, listen, this is what it is. And my livelihood is different than whether we're going to be pals or not. And that's the way I look at it is this is money that I would otherwise put elsewhere. And when you're talking about money, it's in my mind, money is anytime money is involved or selling things or whatever, it's cutthroat. You know, whenever you could save a penny, you should. And whenever you can earn a penny, you should. And so that goes for people selling the games, too. And yeah, so I mean, my advice when it comes to haggling and stuff is always just ask. Just ask. It's not going to hurt to ask. The worst they're going to say is no.
Yeah.
And if they take it personally, then you probably don't want to, you know, interact with that person too much anyway.
Biggest advice that I've learned from even just, like, the game chasers and maybe observing you is that a lot of it is just, if you're buying more than one thing, that's usually where all the deals come into play.
Yeah.
Almost always. If you sit there and argue about one thing, it's so easy to be like, dude, I don't want to fucking talk to you about this one thing.
Right.
Like, I'm not selling it for that cheap. But when you have, like, hey, I'm going to get rid of all this stuff mm-hmm. that you want to sell today, and you may or may not sell all this stuff today.
Yeah.
Make me a deal.
Yeah. I mean, we go to that garage sale. We didn't go this year. We go to garage sale every year, and I get I always get a shitload of stuff. Guy cuts me a million deals, and then on top of that, because I'm buying so much stuff, there's times, like, a lot of those things he'll just give me for free. Like,
yeah.
He gave me, I mean, it's not a big deal, but, like, TurboGrafx-16
sports games?
Football game.
Yeah.
He gave me for free.
Yeah.
He was just like, sports game's worthless.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it helps. It definitely helps to bundle stuff a lot. But you just got to have a thrifty mind. Some people don't care about getting a good deal, or they just don't have the mind for it. I was at a game shop recently, and they were doing a buy two, get one free deal. And these two young girls are in there, and they pick out two games, and I go over to them, I'm like, hey, like, they're at the counter about to check out, and I'm like, hey, like, you literally can go pick out a game for free. It's buy two, get one free. And they're like, oh, really? And then, like, the girls start arguing amongst themselves, and the girl's just like, no, we don't need any more stuff. And it's just like, and, like, I don't think they grasped what, like, that they could just go literally get a free game off the shelf. They kept, like, debating, like, oh, well, I kind of wanted this, and then, okay, well, and then finally just being like, no, never mind, we don't need it. Like,
we don't need a free game?
I don't necessarily know if they, like, understood the concept, and a lot of people just don't want the trouble. Like, that's the thing, is, like, there's been times where I've gone out, you know, it's not really related to games, but there was a time where I was just like, hey, I got this movie pass, like, just buy the movie ticket. We were going to meet up in a movie or whatever. Just go to the movie ticket. Buy my ticket, and then you can just return it when I get there. And they just didn't want it. They're like, don't worry about it. I'll just pay for the ticket. I'm like, okay. Like, they just don't want the trouble. They don't want to go through the effort. So I think that's where a lot of it comes from. I mean, I have a friend who just bought a PS4 and a bunch of games, and I asked, because I've been curious about God of War. So I asked him, oh, what did you pay for God of War? I don't know if it's gone down in price or not yet. And he was like, oh, $60. I said, okay, fine. And, it was like one of the best-selling games. It's a first-party game, so I thought, okay, well, maybe it's just a $60 game still. And then I heard about it. It's been on my mind a lot, so I finally looked it up, and I found it for like $20.
Yeah.
Some people just don't care enough to do the research and stuff. Must be nice to just have all that money that you don't mind spending three times as much. But
aside from your example, I mean, like, removing that example specifically, like, a lot of people just aren't smart with money, and they don't put a lot of thought into these things at all. And like you said, they just don't want to bother with it. But it's just it's weird, because it's just, you can save so much money. Because I've had people talk to me and like, oh, like, how did you, well, people make fun of, but people legitimately make fun of me at work because I like physical games.
Right.
Like, oh, Mr. Physical over here. And I'm just like, yeah, because I buy physical games mostly just because, aside from like limited run new releases and all that, because it's cheaper in the long run.
Right. Well, so people talk about like the depreciation of cars and stuff when you buy them.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, that digital game you just bought is 100% depreciated. Yes. That's worth nothing. It's worth zero. Whereas one day, if I decide, I don't feel like playing video games anymore, like, I just sell my stuff and I get a large return back.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't understand the concept of getting a good deal. A lot of people see my game room and they're like, oh, you must be rich, or you must spend a lot of money on games. And it's just like, almost nothing in this room was bought at retail.
Yeah.
And almost nothing at this in this room was bought at 50% retail. Like, when I went to Japan, I spent the whole 2 weeks writing stuff down and taking notes, looking for the best deal on this Yu Yu Hakusho game that I got, because I was trying to find out how much I should spend, and I ended up finding it for $85, and I saw it the other day in Paris in a retro game store for 250 euros, and I see it on eBay for $200, and I paid $85 for it. I saw it for 150, 160 while I was there, but I didn't buy those ones. I was like, I can hold out, I'll find a better deal, and I did, and that's how I buy. So even when I buy stuff in stores, I don't pay retail.
When it comes to good deals, it's just people who get good deals are not impulsive people.
Yeah.
That's really what it all boils down to. It's just patience.
Yep.
It's just, that's all it
if
is.
If you just tell yourself, I'll come across it one day, then you'll be all right most of the time. There might be that one or two games that you have to buy out of pocket one time on eBay. We finally get fed up. I'll probably have to do that with, like, Snatcher, because I really want that game. And I'm a big fan of the creator and his games, and I do really want that game, and I'm probably not going to run across it, and it's not going to get any cheaper, so eventually I'll probably just end up buying the bullet or whatever. But but aside from that, from the few random instances, just hold out and you'll find it. I mean, I found, like, some weird shit too. It's just like, you can't believe that you came across it. And, you know, I saw something at a game store the other day where it was like the Game & Watch collection. That was like a Club Nintendo exclusive, just like on the shelf.
Yeah, the Nintendo DS one?
Yeah, it was just like on the shelf with the other DS games.
What? How much was it?
It's like 25 euros, 20 euros. You can get it cheaper on eBay, but still, it's just like the fact that it was just sitting there in a game shop.
Yeah.
Like, not even under the glass or anything. It was just there on the shelf. You find these things, and yeah, so you just got to be patient. That's another thing. If you really care about good deals, be patient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, my Game Boy Light is a perfect example. So, I got that for $5. It's, you know, worth $100 easily.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just got to be patient with this stuff, and eventually you come across. I found two Game & Watch systems that I paid, both of them I paid like $2 each. So, and those are something, that's like something that you're like, I'm never going to come across those. But sure enough, I bought like a N64 lot on Craigslist, and like that was in the box. And then the other one I found in a junk bin in a Hard Off for
God.
$1.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just random stuff. You know, you'll come across this stuff eventually. And yeah, so that's my advice. So yeah, this is running a long time, so let's wrap this up. Let's
close it out.
Yep. It's good to be back, guys. I thank you so much for listening. Seriously, you know, please subscribe. It really helps, especially if you leave us like a review or something. It really does. I know we usually joke around at the end of these things, but I have been taking this more seriously and spending more time, investing more time into getting the podcast out there to people. And if you leave a review, it will help a lot, and if you subscribe, so please do those things. You can get us on any major podcast app, whatever the kids are calling them nowadays. There's a term for it. Pod Slinger, I don't know. We're on the Podbean, we're on the Stitcher, we're on the iTunes, we're on the Google Podcast, we're on everything. So get out there, subscribe, and until next time, stay cool.